nobody's going to kill Jason Light for drafting him, nor should they. I think you got your finger right there. I think that's a problem. This guy is the guy. You can't push me around like I'm Peter King.
Buccaneers fans, Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, presents the Ira Kaufman podcast. Bill Curry Ford, 0% financing, no payment for 90 days. Get all the details, every last one of them, at BillCurryFord.com. Now it is time to get to the stage. Here he is.
Yay, yay.
The Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the King of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the Custodian of Canton, Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com, Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan. He's back. Lee is back. And we got some fun stuff to hit on today, Ira. All fired up. Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Summer is basically here, Sage. You got to drink that Big Storm beer if you are drinking beer. Bromosa is everywhere in the stores. But look at all the beers at BigStormBrewery.com. BigStormBrewery.com. Check out the beers, the food at the tap rooms. Check out all the tap rooms. You'll see them right there at BigStormBrewery.com. And you can follow them on social media, Big Storm, and insert the city of your tap room. Big Storm Clearwater, Big Storm Ybor, Big Storm Cape Coral, Big Storm Orlando, Big Storm Pasco, Odessa. Fantastic. Big Storm Brewery, we love them. Big Storm is the official beer, again, of the Ira Kaufman podcast. And our thanks to Florida's Elite Restoration. That's where you go when you have a disaster in your home. You call them 24/7. They respond quickly. They're not sitting around, oh, they'll call you Monday at noon. If you call them Saturday because you have a flood, call them immediately and they'll get out there quickly with their high-tech equipment, give you a free assessment, free evaluation, storm damage, and they'll help you work with your insurance company if you need it. Florida's Elite Restoration, they have that experience. Let them know you heard about them from Ira or Joe Bucks fan. And if you need their services after your assessment and your evaluation, then they'll give you $500 back for your deductible, or just cash back if you hire them to do the work for you to get your property back the way it needs to be. Florida's ElitRestoration.com. Sage, we'll talk about all your friends, your sponsors later, but Ira, how are you? And I know you're all jacked up to throw darts at Peter King or give him a hug, but I think it's the former.
Right now, I'm curious. Early May, guys, we got about a five-week window, OTA's rookie mini camp coming up, the draft's behind us. So I'm curious to see, you know, some of these new young punks, studs, whatever you want to call them, see how they fit in. There's some opportunities on this roster. There's opportunities, especially if guys like Logan Hall and Joe Tryon don't develop. There's going to be some opportunities for some of these draft picks. So, you know, look, mid-June, everybody's going home, guys. They're going home for 6 weeks. There's going to be nothing going on at one buck. So the next 5 weeks, OTAs, mini camp, let's see what's going on. This is not the team from 2 years ago when all 22 starters are coming back. There's opportunities along the offensive line. I see three openings. I see a tackle spot and two guard spots that are not secure. Absolutely not secure. Let's see what's going on there. The defensive line, the same. Opportunities for Cansey. By the way, Lee, I know you do research on this. Maybe you can smarten me up here. Lee, was Cansey with Brian Baldinger somewhere on a beach? I don't know where the beach was. And how the heck did those two guys get together? You know anything about that?
Yeah, it was Fort Lauderdale Beach, and obviously Cansey is from that area. If you follow Baldinger on social media, if he's not breaking down football, he's out scuba diving in Hawaii, snorkeling for a grouper off of the west coast of Florida. He's always got something to do with the water, surfing. He's a water dog. So he put out a video last week. I don't really believe it. He claims it was just sheer accident that he runs into Cansey at the beach, that Cansey was out there working out on the beach, which, you know, I know some guys do run on the beach. That's very, very, very good exercise for cardio and for stamina. But that's what Baldinger claimed. And since they were there, you know, everybody's got a cell phone camera. Baldinger said, hey, you know, why don't you show me some of your moves? And obviously, Baldinger is a former NFL offensive lineman. You know, he works for the NFL Network now. You know, Cansey was breaking down some of his moves for Baldinger, kind of like a show and tell, this is what I do when you step left, those kind of things. And Baldinger put out a second video where he's just breaking down film of Cansey. It smells like a setup. Here's the analogy I used, Ira. You might love this. I'm sure this was much-watched television for you. Baywatch. There was a Baywatch episode where Pam Anderson Pam Anderson kind of strutting up in her red one piece up on the beach. And there's a guy wearing a Dodgers jersey and a Dodgers cap, and he's taking batting practice at the beach. It was Mike Piazza. You know, what baseball player doesn't go to the beach and practice a batting stance, swing a few times like he's in the on-deck circle? And that's what it smelled like to me, you know, like Baldinger's, you know, if you want to really freak out yourself, Baldinger's Pam Anderson, and he happens upon Cansey, who Cansey, you know, couldn't find a football field, so hey, let's go to the beach and work out.
Steve, if I hear that Pam Anderson's going to Treasure Island, I'm grabbing a bat, a hat, and maybe a protective cup. I'm on my way.
Yeah, you know, Ira, for longtime listeners of this podcast, I'll say you can go looking for your beach chairs. That's your excuse for being there. Peter King, I mentioned it earlier. I'll get right to it, Ira. He put out his power rankings post-draft. And King is putting the Bucks firmly at number 31. Not only does he put them at number 31, but his little nugget said that they're not happy with the draft in their rearview mirror, presumably based on what they did. So my quick take before I'll respond to whatever you're going to say, Ira, is most media guys, King included, they'll talk about, of course, you need a quarterback, etc. But they'll also say you got to win in the trenches, got to win in the trenches, blah, blah, blah. The Bucks drafted three guys in the trenches, first time since 1982, and King thinks they're upset, that they don't like what they did. I mean, it's just kind of funny, but he puts the Bucks at 31st in the league. Of course, if something like that played out, they'd be looking at the second overall pick, presumably quarterbacks Caleb Williams or Drake May. He's got Arizona as the worst team in the league, Houston right behind them, the Bucks, Chicago behind them. And I'll note that the Bucks do play Chicago and Houston this year, so I guess King thinks they're going to lose to both of those teams. Where are you on all this, Ira?
You never want to be sandwiched next to the Bears and the Cardinals. That's purgatory, NFL style. This thing about the Bucks aren't really happy in retrospect about their draft. I cannot believe you got that from anybody inside the building, Lee. That's ridiculous. Nobody's going to say that to Peter King, even if they believe it. And I don't think anybody believes it at this point. They're happy with their draft picks. If they're not, shame on them, Lee. They haven't taken a snap. You can't judge somebody right now.
That's very true. That's very true.
And Lee, as far as ranking them, and you know, Peter King right off the bat says, I don't even want to do this, but you know, I guess I have to. So Lee, here's the facts. Here are the facts. But again, it's judgment only. You know, you and I like Vegas, Lee. We respect the Vegas odds makers. They're not always right. They're wrong plenty of times. But I was looking it up, Lee, and I was shocked. I guess I couldn't remember a year ago. Lee, a year ago, actually last August, going into the season, at the end of training camp, the over-under on the Bucks was 11.5.
Oh, 11.5.
11.5. Okay. I think it was tied with Kansas City. Now, of course, they were coming off two seasons where they were, you know, 29-10. I understand that. And now they're at 6.5, Lee. And the draft hasn't moved that one iota, and I didn't think it would. And it's still 6.5, and it's probably going to be 6.5, you know, going into the season. It could go down if somebody gets hurt in training camp. I can't see it going up significantly. Lee, that's a 5-win difference. 5 wins over the course of one season? That's astronomical. So what I read into it, Lee, what I read into it is last August, they got Brady. They're averaging 30 points a game for two seasons. They're 29-10. They got a Vince Lombardi trophy. They were one play away from going into overtime against the eventual Super Bowl champ Rams. And who knows what happens if the Bucks win that game? Who knows? So that was the idea. Lee, I think this is all wrapped up into Brady, or most of it. Most of it. Oh, yeah. Is Brady's absence. And Lee, I'll say this, and you might not agree with it. I got to be careful how I word this. But last August, nobody had any idea that Brady was going to have kind of a mediocre season. Not a bad season, but a mediocre season, certainly by Brady standards. And nobody knew that. Nobody knew that. Lee, we got to admit it. He didn't play up to his standards from the previous 2 years for whatever reason.
No.
And Lee, they don't have any confidence in Baker Mayfield, and they know nothing about Kyle Trask. So I don't think it's the Vegas, you know.
Oh,
so
okay.
This is not a reflection on Akeem Hicks and Keanu Neal and Will Golston. you know, it's not. And Leonard Fournette, Donovan Smith. It's a reflection on the guy under center. But Lee, the fact is, Brady wasn't great last year. So I'm not sure I'm buying this 5-game gap.
It's a reflection of the head coach. Why are you not including the head coach when a guy picks you to be the second worst team in the league?
Because they had the same head coach a year ago in August. They knew Todd Bowles was going to be the coach. I mean, so he went 8-9, won the division, got killed by Dallas.
Well, I'm talking about King right now.
Yeah, but Steve, a year ago, King knew that Todd Bowles, you know, was going to be the head coach, and I'm sure he had the Bucs in the top 10.
Let me turn it over to Lee. For the record, King picked the Saints to go to the Super Bowl last year, so just so everybody remembers that. Go ahead, Lee.
Well, as far as you know, this 4-game or 5-game swing, it's you know what Vegas is suggesting here. And let's remember, Vegas is setting odds to stir up action. They're not setting odds thinking, okay, this is what they're going to. You know, it's not. They're not predicting the future. They're trying to get people to bet, whether it's above or below. They're trying to get people to lay cash. So that's the goal. The Bucks had what, 8 wins last year, and without Brady, Vegas thinks they'll have a game and a half fewer wins than last year's team with Brady. So if you think of it that way, that's not outrageous. I mean, with this draft, and I said this before, do you think the Bucks got better? I don't. I think they got a nice draft. I think they got some nice players to work with to develop, hoping that they can develop. But I'm having doubts that Joe Tryon can't develop. And Logan Hall seemed like he fell off the face of the map. That has built confidence for me. These guys can develop. But I think they have a nice foundation of players, athletes, to build on if they can develop these guys. But impact players? There's no impact players. You know, however anybody wants to spin it, the Bucs were the worst rushing team in the league last year. They didn't upgrade there. I love Godwin. I love Edwards. I'm still not sold on Gage. And if you think Trey Palmer is going to be, you know, the next Mel Gray, okay, I'm not there yet. So I don't think the Bucs have upgraded at all on offense. And as we all know, in the 21st century, it's about scoring.
Steve, they got to have 2 starters out of this draft, Steve. Otherwise, it's a bad draft. I'll say it right now.
Ira, what about King here? Is he wrong? Where do you put the Bucks in this?
I think it's too low. I mean, if he put him at 22, I wouldn't have a problem. I wouldn't. I mean, Arizona stinks. The Bears.
I mean, he's got him behind Indianapolis. Now, we have to at least give Lee a little later. We'll give Lee a moment to rant on their pick of Anthony Richardson at number 4 overall. Lee didn't go on a good rant there. But they've got Gardner Minshew at quarterback. Now, he's 8-16 in his career as a starter. I had looked that up, Ira. He even lost 2 games with the Eagles last year as a starter, so I'm not sure what that says. Why would King possibly think they're better than the Bucks? I don't understand that at all. And there's other teams there, too. I don't like this, Ira, and I do think it's a referendum on the head coach, because you know, and I'll ask you, do you think if King thought Bowles was a good head coach, he'd rank him as the second worst team in the league?
No. And I'm the first to say Bowles has a lot to prove. Well, what has he proven as an NFL head coach? Not very much.
No, he hasn't.
Didn't have an elite quarterback in New York, but just went 8-9 with Brady. And, you know, you're certainly not going to call Baker Mayfield elite at this point. Lee, I think it's more a reflection on the quarterback situation than it is on Bowles, in my opinion. I might be wrong. But speaking of a guy that's got a lot to prove is Mayfield, I don't think people outside the organization have much confidence in Baker Mayfield. That's the way I read it.
Oh, I agree with that. I think the reason why Peter King and others, he's not alone, I think the Bucs are really going to be terrible next year or this fall. I think it's a 3-pronged issue. One is Bowles. They don't believe in Bowles. And unfortunately, Todd Bowles really hasn't given people a chance to believe in him. You know, he's got 4 losing seasons in a row. And, oh, by the way, it wasn't like the Jets didn't try to get him a quarterback help. But it all failed for him. Number 2, your quarterback. And most people think that Baker Mayfield, who played for the Panthers, is going to be the same Baker Mayfield who's playing for the Bucks. I'm holding out hope that's not true.
But if it is true, I can foresee the Bucks free-falling. And the third reason is, I touched upon it a little bit just a moment ago, what did they do to upgrade their rushing attack? The guy they got as a free agent had a grand total of like 250 yards last year. Give me a break.
Yeah.
Lee, of course, is referring to Chase Edmonds, the running back. And I think there's a lot of addition by subtraction going on, Lee, as far as Byron Leftwich is concerned. We don't need to revisit that topic. And I like some of the additions. I mean, bottom line is a rookie tight end may be better than Cameron Brate, the version of him we saw last year.
Steve, I guess they think Mork will help the running game in terms of his blocking.
Of course they do. And they think that they got a beast of a first round pick, their highest first round pick in a while, to shore up the run defense and, obviously get back to being a much more powerful defense. I mean, those things count too.
I think we don't, have to be called homers to say any defense with Vita Vea, Levante David, Devin White. Devin White's not a bad player. He's not great, but he's not bad. Antoine Winfield, Carlton Davis, and Jamel Dean. I mean, Lee, that's the core of a pretty good defense. And, Bowles knows defense. Can't knock him as a coordinator. And if Kansas's any good, this could be a pretty good defense.
The reason why I've said before, and I'll continue to use this bromide, like a donkey brain, that I think the Bucks have set themselves up to draft a quarterback next year. Because, again, I think on paper this is a good, solid draft. It's not just an impactful draft, especially for 2023. I don't expect rookie defenders to do a whole lot. I really don't. I mean, we all thought Devin White had a great rookie season, but they still sucked that year, 2019. Yeah. So I don't expect these guys to have much of an impact. What I will say is I think the Bucks have the makings of a good defense, as you're suggesting, Ira. They're missing one thing, and unfortunately, it's the main thing in the NFL, pass rush.
Lee, to be fair, Bowles, and I think this is Bowles' claim to fame. It's his forte at the moment. Somehow, he manufactures 48 sacks. I don't know how he does it. I mean, Barrett had 3 sacks before he got hurt, and then he missed the last half of the season, Lee, and 48 sacks, it's a pretty good total, Lee. It is.
He made something out of nothing, basically.
He did.
Ira, real quick, just to correct you real quick, they had 45 last year, was tied for 7th in the league. I don't have a problem with the pass rush. Bowles knows what he's doing in creating it. When you when you compare it to other teams, this is the problem I have with these rankings, is because, okay, yeah, Bucks are missing a pass rush. Okay, tell me the other 23 teams that are, or think they are, or fans think they are. I mean, it just goes on and on. I'm just really pissed off by this. Ira, I don't like this, and it's outrageous. Although the Sam Howell's playing quarterback for Washington, they're going to dominate. And, Anthony Richardson's going to go out there and scare the league. And they're going to be good in Carolina just because, I don't get it.
And this, to Steve's point, Lee, it's not like the division went up in monumental moves. Derek Carr, he's decent. He's durable. He's decent. He's not Joe Burrow. The Saints are getting old. They're a little creaky in some spots. Cam Jordan's 34. He's their best pass rusher. I don't know what's going on with Kamara. I don't know what's going on with Michael Thomas. Carolina's got a rookie quarterback. Lee, I don't know how Bryce Young's going to do his first season. And Atlanta, stunned me with picking a running back. I mean, maybe the guy's really good, but running the ball was not their problem last year, Lee. Was not.
Yeah. Someone forgot to tell Artie Smith that it's not 1973. It's 2023.
So should anybody think that Desmond Ridder's better than Baker Mayfield at this point? I don't think you can make that argument. Steve, one quick point. Long range, just an overview on the organization and the guys that have been under center. Winston, Glennon before that, Brady. And now here comes Mayfield, who we think is going to win the job. Lee, you know what? One of the common denominators, even Brady, is they don't get any rushing yards out of quarterback. They get nothing. Nothing. Mayfield doesn't run, period. Brady doesn't run, period. Winston was okay. Glennon was awful. Lee, I'm not saying everybody's got to be Jalen Hurts, but Burrow moves well enough. Mahomes, Allen... Herbert moves well enough, and here comes Mayfield. Lee, it makes it kind of rough on the offensive line when
the guy's mobility is very limited. And here we go again.
I thought it was just the opposite. I remember the Bucs offensive linemen were like bragging, like, oh my gosh, I know where Brady's going to be all the time. I don't have to worry about him doing this, that, or the other thing, like James would do or Fitzpatrick would do.
Doug Lee, when somebody gets the ball out as quickly as Brady, who doesn't have any real competition in that area, the guy's fantastic at it, always has been. I don't know that Mayfield gets the ball away particularly quickly, but I do know one thing, Steve. Mayfield, if he gets 25 rushing yards in a game, we ought to have a parade down Dale Mabry.
Well, Mayfield's fairly mobile, I always thought.
He hasn't shown. He hasn't. The stats don't bear it out. They just don't.
He's not quick, that's for sure. I remember one time Levante David ran him down from behind, close game against the Bucs in Tampa, and the Bucs pulled out, I think, a one-score win. They were the Browns were marching, and he took off running, and Levante David caught him from behind. You know, King claims the Bucs are unhappy. I know who he talks to. I don't know how he got that from him, if the guy was that honest to tell him that.
I can't believe I just can't believe it.
Could it be the unhappy element? Could it be, and there's this, I've noticed this on a couple of national articles, there's this insinuation that the Bucs really wanted to draft a tackle.
Yes.
But the tackle wasn't available. They didn't want to reach for one.
Yes.
And so it just, the marbles didn't fall the way the Bucs needed them to fall to get that tackle. And maybe they're disappointed. I wouldn't say unhappy. Disappointed that didn't happen. Is that maybe what these guys are getting at?
That's exactly what they would be getting at, Lee. I think you got your finger right there. Now, Harrison was there, the kid from Oklahoma. Maybe the Bucs didn't grade him that high. Maybe they didn't. And if they thought Chancey, you know, was a 7.2, and Harrison was a 6.5, I can't blame them for drafting Chancey. They didn't reach. But, Lee, that's an excellent point by you. If there was any disappointment, I think it would have to be the way that the tackles felt, Steve.
Looked it up just for fun. It's for some comparison here. Baker Mayfield, 2019, he ran for 141 yards in 16 games. That was near the bottom of the starters. But Derek Carr was at 82 yards. You know, not a running quarterback either. So the Saints didn't exactly.
No, he's not.
Yeah,
no, he's
not. Very immobile. In that year, Jameis was top 10. Excuse me, he was ranked number nine. And Ryan Fitzpatrick playing for Miami was number 10. So, you know, we did get a good look at mobile guys with them. They weren't elite mobile quarterbacks, but certainly guys that moved. Aaron Rodgers doesn't run much anymore, Ira. You know, there's a lot of ways to look at it. I'm just mad, Ira, because, you know, I'm mad at Peter King. I don't want to talk to him. I don't think you should talk to him anymore, Ira.
Steve, I haven't heard you on one of these crusades in a while. It's fantastic to hear. Somebody's got you going. If he had him at 22, you wouldn't be screaming about it like you are now.
Yeah, I wouldn't be screaming at it. It's outrageous. That second worst team in the league. What did the Saints do in the draft? They drafted a defensive tackle after we did. Okay. They drafted
a nothing draft. They had a nothing draft.
Yeah, they drafted an edge rusher in the second round. Okay, good luck. And they took a running back in the third round. Maybe he's going to bring a spark, just like any other third round running back is a maybe. And that's it. It just really upsets me, Ira. But I got some original research. I got to throw it.
Wait a minute. And Dennis Allen, Steve. To be fair,
he sucks.
He hasn't shown anything above Todd Bowles. He hasn't.
No.
He hasn't. You know?
It's outrageous, Sage. What's also outrageous is all the great deals at Bill Curry Ford. Now, you've got to order a new vehicle, no deposit. They've got a concierge ordering service for you there online at BillCurryFord.com. GM Sean Sullivan, our draft guru, he's going to give you a $500 gift card just for ordering a vehicle. No deposit, great inventory, turnarounds have sped up depending on your vehicle. Check it all out at BillCurryFord.com. And of course, they got the body shop, award-winning service, and they have Sean Sullivan, who's there to help you personally and give you the Ira Kaufman discount on top of everything else. Bill Curry Ford, a family tradition, 65-plus years. Brand new episode, Ira. I'm sure everybody's eating it up with the Best in Class podcast that popped on Monday. Sean's look back at the draft with an eye on how things affected the Bucs in a lot of different ways, and of course, the Bucs draft individually. So, pretty cool stuff there. He'll have more stuff breaking down off the draft as the Best in Class podcast will roll on. And so grab some Big Storm beer this weekend and catch up on your podcast listening. This weekend, listen to me, Ira. It's Monday, and I'm already thinking about the weekend.
By the way, Okay, Steve, my most vivid takeaway from draft night, which we had a ball over at Big Storm Central Ybor, was being around Sean Sullivan as the Buck pick approached. Bucks were on the clock, and Steve, I was standing right next to him. Lee, he was visibly shaken that the Bucks might take one of these two quarterbacks, Levis or Hooker, and he would have went crazy. He would have thrown the plates up in the air, the utensils. He was very nervous about it, Lee, and I tried to assure him, they're not taking a quarterback. They're not taking one at 19. I'm glad I was right, but boy, Lee, he was nervous. He was nervous. Well,
I got to confess, I was sort of holding my breath in the media room, hoping I would not hear Will Levis' name. I was really hoping not.
Sage, there's also an Ira Kaufman discount, Joe Bucks fan discount, at Florida's Elite Restoration. A lot of fans may not realize that, but you know it, Ira, and that means when you call them up, when you have a disaster, storm damage, flood, fire, mold at your home or at your business, you mention Ira Kaufman, Joe Bucks fan, and if you eventually need their services after a free inspection and a free assessment, then you're going to move forward with them and you'll get $500 back in cash or money toward your deductible just for mentioning Ira or Joe Bucks fan. Get there today, floridaselite restoration.com. Learn about them so you are prepared. Hey, Ira, let me ask you this. The Buccaneers defense this season, serious question for you and Lee. Are you expecting a top 10 scoring defense, which means that the number of points they allow ranks in the top 10 among NFL teams? Are you expecting a top 10 scoring defense, guys?
I'm going to say yes, because I think Kansas is a player, Lee. Now, I know what you said about defensive players as rookies. You know, they have to grow into their role. I think Kansas's going to make a difference, especially if you put him next to Vea. I think that's a problem for other teams' interior lines. White, Lee, if he's ever going to be motivated, this is the year. He's got a lot to prove. Even if he's not going to be a Buck going further, he wants the contract from somebody else, Lee. Somebody else got to pay him. That's what he's thinking. Yeah. You know, so we can't have a season like he had last year when, I tell you what, you know, if you get Bowles off podium, I'm sure he's a lot less effusive about White than when the cameras are rolling. You know, in private, I think White disappointed him a little bit last year. I think he did. I think David still got a little juice left. Winfield, I think, back at his center field position. I think he's going to get four or five picks, I think. They got the makings of a good defense. I'm going to say yes in the top 10.
Now, Steve, just to clarify, top 10 scoring, you mean teams scoring against the Bucks or the Bucks defense getting pick sixes and scooping scores?
It's teams scoring against the Bucks defense.
Top 10.
Top 10, yep.
What were they last year?
After they faltered late, they were 13th. They were top 10 most of the year.
I'll say yes. Barely, but I'll say yes.
Okay, so Lee's pegging him as we'll say a top 10 defense, maybe number 9 at best. Is that fair?
Yeah, it's very fair.
And I'm certainly not calling him a top 10 offense, Steve. Not at this point.
All right. I agree. So we've got three pieces of agreement, and thankfully, this really helps my original research. So kudos to you guys. I mean, we didn't discuss this in advance. And all right. So here we go, Ira. I did this painstaking research because there's, you know, some feeling out there that the Bucks are preparing to tank for a quarterback, right? They're sort of setting the table, you know, do what they got to do and play their game, which is going to lead them to a top pick. So here I go, Ira. I looked up the last 10 years of teams with a top 10 scoring defense. Every team, and looked where they finished in the standings and where they drafted. So, year by year, I'm going to read you the worst team in the top 10 scoring defenses. You ready for this?
Yes.
Okay. Last year, the Saints were the worst team that had a top 10 defense. They were 7-10. In 2021, the Broncos were the worst team among the teams with a top 10 defense. They were 7-10. Before that, it was the Giants. They had the 9th-ranked defense in 2020 and finished 6-10. In 2019, the Denver Broncos were 7-9 with a top 10 defense. That was the worst of the bunch. Now, this is where it gets interesting. In 2018 and 2017, the Jags in 2018 were 5-11 with the 5th-ranked defense. A team in total dysfunction. The whole Doug Marrone was getting fired. The Tom Coughlin mess. They were purging players. They finished 5-11 with the 5th-ranked defense. That was good enough for the number 7 pick in the draft, and they drafted Lee's guy, Josh Allen, the defensive end, in 2019. In 2017, the Bears, 9th-ranked defense, they finished 5-11. Another team that was in turmoil. And in 2018, that 5-11 record in the 2018 draft earned them the number 8 overall pick, and they drafted Roquan Smith. Now, 2016, the worst team with a top 10 defense was the Bengals at 6-9-1. In 2015, the worst team with a top 10 defense were the Texans at 9-7. In 2014, the worst team with a top 10 defense were the Browns at 7-9. They had the 9th-ranked defense. And in 2013, Ira, the Dolphins went 8-8. That was the worst record among teams with a top 10 defense. So if you think if anybody thinks the Bucs have a top 10 defense, scoring defense this year, they have no chance to get one of those top quarterbacks.
Just to clarify what I've been saying about setting themselves up to get a quarterback, I'm not thinking they're going to be able to get Caleb Williams. And I doubt they'll be able to get Drake May. And I doubt, meaning they would have to finish, you know, in bottom 4. I don't know if they'll do that. But I think the Bucs will be in position that if they have to, they could trade up. Maybe they won't need to get Michael Penix. If anybody out there has been reading me closely, I've been writing more than a couple times, I've been referencing Michael Penix. I got my eye on that guy. He's a good quarterback. And he's probably going to be in the draft next year. And I'd love for the Bucs to have that guy. So that's what I'm talking about when I say be in position to get a quarterback. I'm not saying they're tanking to get Williams. I don't believe that. I don't believe that for a minute. And I don't believe the Bucs are going to be one of the 3 worst teams in order to put themselves in position to get Williams or May. I don't think that's going to happen. But they should be in position. I think they will be to get Penix or Quinn Ewers if he comes out of Texas, which I think he probably will.
Gentlemen, I will show my age once again, as I do on this podcast repeatedly. I'm so old that I covered Michael Penix's father as a high school football player. Yes, I did.
Wow.
Yes, I did. I can't remember if he played for Pasco or Zephyr Hills, but I covered him. He was very accommodating. He wrote some award-winning prep stories, gentlemen, over the years. And I made that trip to Dade City and WF Edwards Stadium. Anyway, I agree with Lee. I don't think anybody at One Buck Place, and certainly not Bowles, and I don't think Light or the Glazers are thinking about Caleb Williams in May of 2023. Now, Lee, to be fair, that could change. And if they're sure. if they're 2-6 at Halloween, all bets are off, Lee. All bets are off.
Steve knows I've written this, my gosh, a dozen times already. If the bet on Mayfield is a good bet, the Bucs have their quarterback for the next few years.
Yes. Yes.
And it's real simple. Mayfield doesn't get the job done, they're getting a quarterback. If Mayfield gets the job done, they have a quarterback.
And, Steve, it could be very interesting. By the way, bravo on your research, Stevie. Outstanding. Outstanding. Yes. Going back 10 years, you took time away from making pasta primavera, and you did a little original research. Well done, Steve. So, Steve, it could be very interesting. I mean, look at it. Look at, suppose Houston stinks. Arizona stinks. Yeah, and they're picking ahead of the Bucs. The Bears, I don't know if they're giving up on Justin Fields. But look at Arizona. Steve, if they draft a quarterback, and if the Bucs happen to be sitting at 6 and Arizona's sitting at 3, and if they draft a quarterback, then Kyler Murray's available. I don't know if Lee likes Kyler Murray, but I think
you could trade him.
I think you could win with him, Kyler Murray.
Wow, I thought he was, Bidwell sunk a lot of money into that guy.
They have, but they could make him available, especially if they think May is a surefire guy that's better than him. Anyway, Steve, I guess what I'm saying is, it might not be a year where you have to have one of the top three picks. It depends which team's below you. Suppose Carolina stinks. They're not drafting a quarterback. You never know, Steve. You just never know.
Yeah, you just don't know till it plays out. Yeah, I think they would trade Kyler Murray. Absolutely, Lee. They had some issues there. Obviously, they changed coaches and coming off an injury. And the Cardinals did trade their number one pick with Josh Rosen immediately to get Kyler Murray. I don't think they would hesitate if they got the number one overall pick. I don't think they'd right. hesitate.
Lee, I don't see the Bucs going 4-13. I think that's probably what it's going to take to get a Caleb Williams, probably, depending on who finishes below you and who's picking ahead of you. I don't know that the Bucs have a lot of draft capital at this point to move up. But, you know, Peter King basically has him 4-13. He didn't give him a record, but, you know, Steve, if you're 31, you know, you're 4-13. You know, I just think this defense is, I think it's too good to go 4-13. I do.
You got me going on this Kyler Murray. I just can't imagine any team, including the Bucks, would take on that contract. I would think Arizona would have to eat about 40% of it for any team to seriously consider trading for him.
Yeah, they might, Lee. You're right. They might. They might have to eat a big part of it.
You would think they would, but yeah, it's hard to say. All speculation, Sage. All speculation. What do you think of not seeing Mike Evans in there early in OTAs and some other veterans in general?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind, this wouldn't happen if it was Tom Brady in 2020. This wouldn't happen. Everybody would show up, Lee. You know I'm right. Now, I didn't say Tom Brady, Lee. I didn't say Tom Brady, period, because he walked away from training camp last year. So I'm not forgetting that. I'm not forgetting that. I still think it's kind of unprecedented, Lee. I don't think there's anything comparable to that. Your quarterback's walking away. He's not injured. I mean, when does that ever happen?
I'm going to guess, I can give you an example. Back in the 60s when guys, you know, were in the reserves, so they wouldn't have to get called to Vietnam. They had to, you know, take a couple weeks off to do their tour of duty. But that's the 60s. That's like ancient history. That's like, 60 years ago? You know, so yeah. You have to go that far back. But, yeah, there's been examples.
But, Steve, to answer your question, I don't think it would be decisive if Evans doesn't show up for OTAs. It is voluntary. I just think the Brady factor is gone. That was a factor. We're all in this together. We don't know how many more years Tom's got left. That feeling is gone. You know, there's going to be plenty of guys around the league veterans that don't show up for OTAs. I don't think it would be cause for alarm.
Here's when the Brady effect left the Bucks. This is my estimation. You guys chime in. I know Steve's written several stories about the Brady effect was non-existent last year, and I agree with him. You know, San Francisco game's a perfect example. He's screaming at players. They're basically, you know, whatever, old man. They're paying him no attention. And look what happened in the game. Here's when I think the Brady effect left the Bucks in spirit. When Todd Bowles took the ball out of Brady's hands in Cleveland.
And then he made it worse, Lee, by what he said in the post game. Made it worse.
He could have thrown a pick when he had like two picks, I think, the whole season at the time. Oh, you could have thrown an interception.
Yes.
Got to ask you a quarterback question now because it's there, it's out there. And hey, quick edit here for podcast listeners. The following question was asked of Ira just before the Buccaneers signed John Wolford, the Rams backup quarterback, to join the team and be their number three quarterback. So it's still relevant, the question, an interesting answer, interesting topic in some ways. But just so you know, Ira isn't clueless. Here's the Sage. Sage, Nick Foles is on the market. Nick Foles is on the market, 34 years old. Obviously, you know his background. He's sort of Kyle Trask-ish in his play, or as far as his stature and all that, big, tall quarterback, and not the most mobile, but a little mobile. What do you think of bringing him in if he was willing to come in on the cheap? Jason Light says he's looking for that third veteran quarterback. You know, my understanding is that they're not really looking for a name, more of an X's and O's guru, or a name who isn't, you know, willing to come in and say, hey, yeah, I realize I'm not competing for the top job. What do you think of Foles?
I think I'm signing him yesterday, Lee. I think that's the perfect guy. I think he would come in and you tell him off the bat, this is between Trask and Mayfield and Trask. I think Foles is at the point of his career, Lee, that he really couldn't argue that point. And I think he would be very happy in Tampa. to be a mentor to both of these guys. Hey, Mayfield's still pretty young, Lee. He's still a young quarterback. I think Foles meets this protocol, meets the standard. I'm signing Foles in an instant.
I was thinking Joe Flacco.
I don't think Flacco's got anything left. Zero. Mm. Zero. I think Foles can come in and win a game for or two for you. I do. Mm.
Yeah, I think Foles is interesting for a couple of reasons. One, you know, he could mentor anybody. He's been there. Mayfield, 28 years old. That's still young in NFL years. And he'll come with a lot of respect. But I got to think Todd Bowles would love a guy like that because he's considered a good locker room dude. And if Mayfield wins the job, Bowles easily could make Foles his backup quarterback with the knowledge and comfort that, hey, Foles can go out there and win me a game or two. And, you know, hey, if Kyle Trask can't win this competition, then, you know, who cares about him anyway? He's just, you know, he's just a no experience backup. If I make him the number three guy, I make him the number three guy. Nobody cares. I think Bowles would love, you know, since we know he needs wins, I think he would love to say, okay, yeah, hey, Nick, you're not going to be the quarterback. This is between Trask and Mayfield, but you're going to be the number two guy no matter what, because if Baker can't win this job, he's going to have a temper tantrum and we'll probably trade him to somebody who can use a quarterback anyway.
I like your breakdown on that, Steve. If Trask can't beat out Mayfield in camp, and it could be, you know, may not even be close, I think at that point, you know, I'm not spending a lot of time on Kyle Trask's future in Tampa, if that happens. And you come in and you got Foles now. Steve, I'm looking at Foles. Last year, you know, he only played three games and started twice for the Colts, and he was lousy. He didn't throw a touchdown. He had four picks. He was lousy. He went 0-2, 2-5 and 20 with the Bears, 0-4 and 19 in Jacksonville. So, you know, he hasn't had a lot of recent success, but I still think he can win a game or two for you.
The Trask cult out there will have a connection if he's not even dressed on game days again. They'll go bananas.
Lee, suppose he doesn't show anything. I mean, you know, he almost got to cut ties with the guy at that point.
I've been telling people this, and people just get angry. I mean, I guess they expect me to lie, but you could have made an argument on training camp last year and he should have been cut. You could have made that argument. I don't think he was that much better than Ryan Griffin. May God strike me down with a lightning bolt right now if I'm lying. And I would think, I would hope, our readers on Joe Bucks Fan would want Steve and I to be say what we see. And that's what I saw. I saw a terrible quarterback. And absolutely. People just get so upset with me when I say that. I'm like, what do you want me to do? To lie and say the guy looked like Dan Marino? I mean, well, what the hell?
Steve, if Trask looks good in training camp and it's pretty close between him and Mayfield, and, you know, Mayfield just edges him on experience, then I'm not down on Trask. But he's got to show something in training camp. He has to.
They both could look good, and that's the goal here. You know, okay, if he didn't make it, he didn't make it. But as far as winning the job, but obviously Trask can look good. That's what the organization wants, and that's what should happen. As a third-year quarterback, you should look like a strong backup. That's not too much to ask for a second-round pick to look like a good backup, a really good number two quarterback in your third year. So,
I'll say it again. Lee, I think I'm right about this one. If Trask turns out to be a career backup, you know, a Mike Glennon type, nobody's going to kill Jason Light for drafting him, nor should they. Every year, a lot of quarterbacks are taken in the first two or three rounds, and they don't make it, and Trask will join a long list if he does. But no, nobody should be all over Jason Light for that.
Here's the only thing Light or anybody with the Bucks should say. If someone says, oh, you wasted the second round pick, blah, 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 blah. You know, should have drafted a cornerback. I don't disagree with that, but I, you know, Steve can back me up. I thought it was a nice pick to get Trask in here. I thought the guy had problems. Here's all the Bucks need to say. The guy we drafted him for, to play for, didn't last a year. They expected Bruce Arians to develop the guy. Arians wasn't around 12 months.
Yeah. Steve, we don't want to prejudge Trask. We don't know much about him.
Sure we do. Or we want to prejudge all these players. That's the whole point. That's what Peter King does all day long. Hey,
we don't want to be Peter King, Stevie. We don't want to be Peter King.
All right, Ira. Last question for you. Last question, and it's probably
take 3 months off vacation. Why wouldn't we?
Remember my line, Stevie. That when I go on the Mad Dog, it's part of the pregame. It's part of the ritual. You can't push me around like I'm Peter King, right, Lee? That's one of my lines.
All right, Sage, this is probably one of the most important questions. And I'm saving it for the end of the podcast. How about that? Not what I usually do, but I'm doing it. Now, before I ask you this, Ira, and I'm sure we'll have a little discussion here and then get out, I want to thank Florida's Elite Restoration, floridaselitestoration.com. Visit now if you're a business owner with a property, commercial property, or you are a homeowner. Check out all the things they do if you have a disaster in your home and why you can trust them and why they're special. And then you know who to call. It's all part of your disaster plan, which you're supposed to have for hurricane season. floridaselitestoration.com. Big Storm Beer. We thank Big Storm. We're excited with the schedule release coming out this week so we can pick some games. Ira, get that process going where we'll watch some road games with Bucks fans at Big Storm Brewery at one of their five tap rooms. And of course, Sage, Bill Curry Ford. That's where you shop for a vehicle. Don't go anywhere first. Go there. BillCurryFord.com. Shop online. It's very easy. All new vehicles get a nationwide lifetime warranty. BillCurryFord.com. Sage, schedule release is Thursday. We're going to do a podcast after that because we'll have a lot to talk about. Now, the schedule release, it's like a holiday. The Buccaneers this year, they play the AFC South. Not very good. They play the NFC North, not the greatest, and they play the Bills in the 17th game, and of course, they got the division, other games, a couple other games as well. But Sage, what are you looking for in the schedule? What would you like to see in the schedule to help the Bucs, achieve their goals? Are you looking for a tough start and let the team settle in and, hey, if they're going to need time, let them get beat around a little bit and figure it out, or you want some cupcakes in here where they can get off to a good start? What are you looking for?
I think the start's going to determine the Bucs season and their attitude and their approach. Lee, you've heard me say it before. I hope it doesn't happen. The three of us hope it doesn't happen. Lee, if the thing goes off the rails early and it's clear that they're not, a playoff contender and you're done by Halloween, we've seen it around here many times. I'm not making stuff up that we haven't seen as Buck Nation. A lot of times the season's over at Halloween, Thanksgiving at the latest. Lee, if that's the case, people come calling for, Mike Evans or something. I mean, it's not crazy that, Light's answering the phone. What do you got for us? What do you got?
Yeah.
And if they're 4-4, he's not answering the phone. And if they're 2-6, here come the Glazers saying, hey, Jason, we got to do what's best for us in the long run. So I think a good start for Bowles to keep his job is very important. I'm not saying they're going to can him in midseason. They don't do that. Glazers don't do that. 2-6, they're not going to fire him. Steve, I think a tough schedule in the start would be very challenging.
Who do you want for those first two games, Ira? What's your pick for the first two games? I'll spit them out to you real quick. They got home against the Bears, Lions, Jaguars, Texans, Panthers, Saints, Falcons, and Eagles. And they're on the road against the Packers, Vikings, Texans, Colts, Panthers, Saints, Falcons, Niners, Bills.
The first week I want to be on the road. I want to visit Indy. They stink. I think the Bucs are a better team. I think the Bucs have a better roster. So I'm going to Indy. And week two, I want to host the Falcons. Take a look at this Bijan Robinson, but more importantly, get a little payback for that last game of last season. I think I left a bad taste in the mouth of the Bucs. Even though, to be fair, they pulled their starters, they did, and collapsed in the second half. So at Indy, and let the Dirty Birds come into Tampa.
I sort of like what Ira's saying in the sense you want Indy to start out with. I'm tempted to say Carolina because rookie quarterback, you want to get him early before he gets his feet wet. Nashville, I think Nashville's garbage.
Yeah.
I think the Bucks can handle them. So I want to. It's a new offense. They got to work the kinks out. I would like to see the Bucks play three or four patsies right away before they get into the teeth of their schedule. And by 3 or 4 weeks, you would hope they would have their offense down a little bit. And by that time, what should be the Bucks will be seeing what they would be like. I gotta ask Ira this real quick. Ira, the Bucks are done for by Halloween. I guess it goes without saying that we should be preparing for a new coach.
That's the way it's setting up, Lee. I mean, new quarterback, new coach. Well,
if it looks like Bowles is done by Halloween, Do the Bucks go into Operation Shutdown to make the job more attractive by having a better draft pick to get Williams or May or Penix or Ewers?
Well, I'll say this, Lee. If this Williams kid is as good as they... Everybody seems to be on board with Williams as a rare talent. Rare.
Well, he sure looks like it. With games,
better than Young and Stroud. Not even close. Better.
I agree.
It's going to be very tempting. Lee, very tempting. Now, look at the Glazers. Like, you know, they're looking at each other. Edge, Avi, they're on a phone call. Brian, hey, we've never had one of these guys. Brady's Brady, but he was 42 or 43. I mean, we've never had one of these guys. If this guy is the guy, if he's Joe Burrow, not even Mahomes, but if he's Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, we got to go get this guy. Jason, go get this guy. And that, I'm saying, Lee, that's assuming that the season's going off the tracks.
Yeah, and I did like your line that the Glazers are looking at each other. For whatever reason, I thought that was humorous. I don't know.
All right, Sage, we are out of here. I'll throw in my two cents. I like where you were thinking, but I want the Falcons first. I want them at home. I want to see what this run defense, if they're up to the task with 4 months to prepare for the Falcons running down their throat. I want to see if Todd Bowles is up to it. I think that would be a huge test for the head coach. And then let's go to Indianapolis in week two after we have at least a little bit of film on Richardson, who probably will be starting and running like crazy. I'd rather them get at least an idea of what's going on there and not have a repeat of Marcus Mariota on opening day of 2015. All right, Sage.
By our next podcast, we're not going to have to speculate, right, Steve?
Yeah, no more. Yeah, we will. Hopefully it comes out Thursday evening. We can get together Friday, talk about the Bucks offensive coaches gathering this week and the schedule and all the excitement there. All right, Sage, presented by Bill Curry Ford. Final thought, Ira, or should I just click stop?
You can click stop, but that doesn't mean I'm stopping. I'm in mid-season form, Steve.